I'm going to speak the final message on the Christmas season this morning. And in Luke chapter 2, this passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning is sometimes just seems to be a footnote to the Christmas story. But it is really important to the Christmas narrative, and it's so often overlooked. But that's what I want to share with you today. It's the story of a miracle revelation that the Holy Spirit gives to Simeon and Anna, these two faithful servants of the Lord who had waited so diligently for the Messiah to come. God had put it in both their hearts that before they died, they would see Messiah. And they oftentimes get left out. They're not at the crèche scene. They're not, you know, at the announcements by the angels, but they're part of that Christmas narrative. And so I want to end with that. Starting at verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, it speaks of a revelation to them of the future that God had for his only begotten son who was born in a stable, laid in a manger. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, please, this morning. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the tomb. This was the official registration of the name. It was like the New Testament version of our birth certificates. This was critically important for the lineage and for the genealogical records. 8 days, circumcision would come. They would circumcise Jesus, and the name became official. They had 8 days that they could change their mind, but they didn't. And that's why verse 21 is so important. His name was called Jesus. That becomes the official name in the records that Mary and Joseph chose for their son. Now, of course, it was chosen for them by God, and the angels announced that. In verse 22, then, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is something that Mary and Joseph would have done according to the prescription of Leviticus chapter 22, as it prescribed what a woman was to do after she had given birth to a male child, but parts of it were even if she had given birth to a male or a female. And so it was called the days of her purification. When those were completed, when they had accomplished that, then this young couple were to bring a sacrifice to the temple and offer it on behalf of their child. And more wealthier people could bring a lamb, but there was provision in Leviticus 22 that if a couple couldn't afford that, they could bring two doves. They could bring a very limited sacrifice and still it be offered to the Lord. And that's what verse 22 is. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so Luke is making sure that his readers understand that Mary and Joseph are fulfilling every jot and tittle, if you will, of the law. Even though this is the Son of God, he is being committed to the Lord, he's being offered to the Lord, and they're doing everything that they are supposed to do as parents so that this child is legitimate and so that his birth is legitimate. And then in verse 25, we see Simeon as they're in the temple presenting their sacrifice to the Lord and their son to God as holy to him. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit has had a part in this whole pageantry from the very beginning? It's the Holy Spirit that will come upon Mary. It's the Holy Spirit that will direct Joseph. And it is the Holy Spirit that will be upon Simeon. And it had been revealed to him, verse 26, again, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that incredible? The Holy Spirit had said to Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah, the Christos, the anointed one. You're going to see him before you die. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit directed Simeon to come into the temple at the same time that Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus into the temple to make the offering for him according to the Old Testament law. And when the parents, verse 27, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I can die now because I have seen God fulfill his word. I am holding the Lord's Christ in my arms. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Notice Simeon's words. He says, Lord, I recognize that this child is not just a gift to Israel, but this child is a light to the Gentiles. This is what the Old Testament has been saying all along, that when God's Messiah come, he will make a way for the Gentiles to be able to know God and for Israel to be able to know God in a full way. And it's all going to culminate in the birth of this child. And I've been privileged to see this child. And Joseph, verse 33, and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, they marveled at the announcement that they would have a child. They are marveled at the fact that all the Christmas pageantry things came along, the star, all of that. And now they marvel again at the fact that God has spoken to an elderly man and he has revealed to him that Jesus is the Christ. Then Simeon, verse 34, blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. And this must have been one of the most poignant moments of this whole scene right now. As Simeon is holding this child, knowing that it is the Messiah, knowing that he has come not only for the nation of Israel, but also for the Gentiles, he looks and he blesses this couple, but then he takes a moment with Mary and he says these words, behold, this child is destined. This child is destined. Jesus had a destiny. How many believe that today? Amen? Jesus had a destiny. He wasn't born just to give us a Christmas season so we could celebrate Christmas. He had a destiny. And Simeon said, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He's prophesying. He's saying, in effect, that many people will fall because of him. Rulers will fall because of him. People that reject him will fall because of him. But many will rise because of him. Many will rise up and take their position of destiny in their own lives because of this child. And for a sign of which will be spoken against. There will be those who will speak against this child. There will be those who exalt this child. But there will be those who will condemn this child. He's prophesying the future destiny of Jesus. Yes. And then Simeon says these words, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Mary ponders those words as Simeon says, there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce through your soul also. It's almost as if Simeon can foresee the crucifixion and see that spear go into the side of Jesus as he says, Mary, a sword will pierce your soul also. You're going to be affected by what's going to happen to your son. And isn't it not peculiar, but isn't it interesting that Mary would stand at the crucifixion and see her son give his life for the world? Amen. And Simeon sees that. He's revealing that to her. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary, people's hearts and their thoughts are going to be revealed because of this child. And it's interesting that the scriptures tell us that Jesus didn't need anyone to tell him what was in the heart of man because Jesus knew what was in the heart of man. He knew what people were thinking. So this incredible prophetical event is taking place to kind of culminate the Christmas narrative. And then what I've called Anna's Amen, Anna comes along. I don't think it's an accident that there is a man who prophesies, and then there is a woman who is a prophetess who also says amen to what's going on. Verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And we assume that that's when her husband died. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Some say that that's how long she had been a widow, and yet others say that was probably her age, depending on the translation. But she was up in years, and she had been a widow a long time. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Every day she would come to the temple. Every night she would fast and pray. She would pray for the Messiah. She would pray for God to somehow bring deliverance to Israel. And coming in that instant, as she saw what was going on with Simeon and the parents, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, this prophetess, this widow, as she saw what Simeon was doing, said an amen to everything that he said. She says, I witnessed that. I recognize that this is the Messiah. This is her amen to what Simeon had just said. And then in verse 39, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and in the grace, and the grace of God was upon him. This is as much a part of the Christmas narrative as anything that we have preached about in these last several weeks. And perhaps this is one of the more important details, as Jesus is bona fide, if you will. He's registered under the name Jesus. The sacrifices have been given, and he has been identified by the prophet and the prophetess as exactly who God said he was. It's interesting that Simeon's view into the future was the destiny of this young family. A destiny that included, though not mentioned by Simeon, but you and I know, a destiny that would include a trip to Egypt because of the threats of the king that would kill the child. The destiny would include an encounter in Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. That is later described for us in verse 41. When he was 12, they would bring him to the temple. They would travel there for Passover and the celebrations and the feasts. And Jesus would astound the doctors of the law. That was part of his destiny. And we have record of that. It would include, his destiny would include an obscure 30 years of life. For 30 years, Jesus grew. And we know nothing about his upbringing except what we see in the scriptures about his time when he was 12 years of age. We know nothing more. We know nothing of Joseph's death, but we assumed he died before Jesus reached the age where he would go in ministry. For 30 years, he would live in obscurity. He would just be another Jewish boy who would be raised up. At 12, he would set himself kind of aside as a remarkable child. But there were a lot of remarkable children, just like you have remarkable children. How many have remarkable children here today? That's the best show of hands I've ever gotten. All right? Jesus would be a remarkable child, but everyone thought their children were remarkable. But for 30 years, we would hear nothing about Jesus other than this short passage in the scripture and the fact that we knew he would grow in stature in wisdom with God and man. That would be part of his destiny. He would be isolated so that he could grow and learn. So he would learn a trade, the carpentry trade, so that he would help take care of his family, Mary, and his other brothers and sisters, being the oldest child. We can piece together what those 30 years were like based on what we know of the culture in the day, but we have no record of it. That would be part of his destiny. It would be similar to the destiny of other famous people of God. Remember, it was Moses that was in the desert for those many years as God was honing him in order to lead the children of Israel. It was David, after anointed king as a boy, that would go into obscurity in the sheepfolds and learn how to be a great king by being a good shepherd. It would be Elijah, who would spend 3 years at the brook Cherith waiting for his encounter with Ahab on Mount Carmel. It would be Paul in the Arabian desert, who would be shown things unlawful to show to anybody else as God prepped him and prepared him for being the apostle extraordinaire. It is not unusual for God to take his chosen ones and put them aside for a while he sharpens them and tunes them and puts within them everything he wants them to have for ministry. And for Jesus, he would be obscured until he was 30 years of age. And then the Bible says, as was supposed in verse 23 of chapter 3, as was supposed, 30 years of age, he would begin his ministry journey. It was part of his destiny. And then his destiny would include a short 3 years of ministry. Simeon had longer than that waited for the Messiah. Anna had prayed and fasted longer than that. And yet, 30 years in obscurity, and now 3 years to minister and give his life on the cross. This short little space of time. What can be done in 3 years? What can be done in 3 years? We can't even get through one president in 3 years in our nation. That wasn't bad, was it? We can't build a highway in 3 years. How many like the highway, the Battleground Highway that makes it out to I-5? How many like that? Amen? And they did a great job. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. You guys did a great job. But it took longer than 3 years. It took that long just to have the plans and all. Well, anyway, I digress. What can be done in 3 years? I'll tell you what can be done in 3 years. The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and his ministry can be done in 3 years. And in 3 years, he completed it all and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. A lot can be done in 3 years. Amen. It was part of his destiny. And then finally, Simeon would reveal that his destiny would be a journey to Mount Calvary when Jesus Christ would hang on the cross and say, "It is finished. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He would have those, as far as we know, those seven sayings that we talk about at Easter time, seven gateways, if you will, into the heart of the Savior. This was Simeon's view into the future. This is what he revealed to Joseph and Mary. But they couldn't comprehend all these things. They couldn't comprehend it. They just thought about it. And it would be nice if we knew their reactions, but we don't have those. So we can only assume what they went through as they heard Simeon. And then secondly, we have this Anna's amen to the destiny that he foresaw. This wonderful widow woman who comes night and day to the temple. And widows were in a precarious place in the day that we're reading about. They had no welfare system. They had no Medicaid system. They had no Medicare. They had no provisions for the widows, except that the family was responsible for taking care of them. Later on, the church would be called up to rise up and help a widow indeed. Corinthians tells us, a widow who has no family, the church then would be responsible to help her all they could. But at this time, there was no provision. And so many times, widows would be left behind to fend for themselves. And many of them died in obscurity because no one family could reject them. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught in Matthew, and he was so against this. He said that you have a ritual where you can say to your parents, I forget the word right now, it slips out of my mind. But he says there's a way you can express that all of your money is set aside for God's use, and therefore you don't take care of your parents at all. And Jesus says you're wrong in doing that. But here is this poor widow lady, 84 years of age, or 84 years a widow, however you want to translate it. And yet she is faithful to come to the temple every day to pray and to seek God because she's waiting for the Messiah. I don't know about you, but I think Anna is a heroine in this whole story. Amen? She's a heroine in this whole story. She doesn't give up because she believes that somehow she will see the Lord's Christ. And so this prophetess has a glimpse into the future as well with Jesus' destiny. And see, what all this is doing, it's the final setup for what Jesus was born to do, and that is to die on the cross. Now, when I look at these parents, and we won't read it this morning, but if you read from verse 41 to verse 52, you'll read about the experience at 12 years of age when Jesus astounded the doctors of the law in the temple. And I want you to notice something. In verse 49, Jesus said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" This was when he was 12. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verse 50. Mary and Joseph didn't understand quite what he was talking about. They didn't have the full revelation of his destiny. But they pondered these things. They pondered. They thought about them. Look at verse 51. "And they went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." She pondered them. She thought about them, trying to figure out where this whole thing would end up. And I think about Mary and Joseph. We don't know how long Joseph lived. We know he died before Jesus was ready to go out in ministry. He's never mentioned again after this experience. I don't believe there's another place in Scripture that mentions him after this 12 years of age. Some commentators believe he died shortly after this 12 years of age experience. I don't know. We don't know that. But I wonder how they felt. How could they do that? How could they raise the Son of God? Well, I believe that God gave them strength for the road ahead. I believe that anyone that God calls to a destiny will also provide the strength that we need for the road ahead. We're facing a new year. Tomorrow is the first day of 2018. Every place I've gone to lately and they've said, "Happy New Year," they've said, "Can you believe how quickly this year has gone?" And the older you get, the quicker it goes, right? The older you get, the calendar doesn't have 12 months, it has 10 months. And then 9 months, and then 8 months. It just gets quicker and quicker and quicker. But they've said how quickly it's gone. But we're going into a new year. And I thought of Mary and Joseph, and what was it that helped them make it through? What was it that helped them help Jesus realize his destiny? What gave them the strength that they needed? And I believe the scripture that I found that will be an encouragement to us this morning, because it's the same scripture that I want you to take for this upcoming year. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, and you'll recognize it right away. And I believe this is perhaps the scripture that Mary and Joseph may have depended on. This is what helped them make it through, especially those 3 years of ministry culminating with the crucifixion of her son. What gave Mary the strength to be able to bear the sword in her own heart? It was no doubt the strength that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Let me read it to you. Isaiah says this: "He gives power to the weak, And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. What gave Anna the strength to bear up underneath widowhood? What gave her the strength to come back to the temple day after day after day after day? I believe it was the Lord's strength that was renewed every day as she waited on the Lord. How about you? You believe that's where the strength came from? Where did Simeon get the strength to say, I won't die till I see the Lord's Christ? It had to come from God. The strength that he would have when he was weak and wasn't filling up to it. The strength that God would give him. And what will the strength be? Where will the strength come from for you and I in this coming year? It will come from the Lord as we wait upon the Lord. No matter what destiny we have in 2018, no matter where 2018 leads us, no matter what roadway we take, it will be God's strength that helps us rise up with wings like the eagle. Hallelujah. It'll be the same strength that came to Mary and Joseph to do the things that they did. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise God. I think that's where Mary and Joseph got their strength, to be able to raise Jesus, to be able to bring him to the point where he would go out in ministry. And for Mary, the strength to see her son spoken against, And to see his work, and then to see him die on the cross, and then to follow him after the resurrection. We don't hear really anything after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, I believe, is the last reference to Jesus' mother. She was present there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. We don't hear anything else. The church traditions have some records, but nothing in the Bible that we know about. But I can pretty well tell you this, that however long she lived and whatever she did, she was telling people about Jesus, her son. Amen? And that God gave her the strength that she needed to be able to help him fulfill his destiny. And so it's the strength that you and I need. It is a supernatural strength. Arthur Pink, who has long since passed away in 1952, but he said this statement. He said, a supernatural strength requires a supernatural source. Isaiah 40:31 is a supernatural strength. And the supernatural source is the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And that's what we may need in 2018. You never know. Is a supernatural strength to do whatever it is that God will assign for us to do. But we have a great supernatural source, and that source is the power of the Holy Spirit, who resides within us, that gives us a strength to go beyond ourselves and to do what we can't do in our own strength. Let me finish by talking about excess baggage. Excess baggage. Cheryl and I, as many of you do, we travel a lot. There's segments of time that we don't have to travel very much, but then we have months, as you know, where we have to travel a lot. And so we work real hard to consolidate the bags. All right? How many know you can only consolidate so much, right? I remember when we were getting ready to go to Africa years ago for a missions journey, the missionary said, pack everything you think you'll need. And so we did. And then they said, all right, now cut it in half. And so we went through and we started pulling out stuff half. How can I, you know, 5 pair of trousers, 2.5. How am I going to, you know, cut it in half. So we cut it in half. So we called the missionaries and said, all right, we've got it in half. And they said, okay, cut it in half again. Right, dear? And so we cut it in half again. And I think we called them one more time, and they said, okay, this may be hard, may be difficult, but cut it in half again. And so we just got it down to the bare necessities so we wouldn't be bare when we got there. Okay? Excess baggage. And what we discovered when we got there is that we didn't take home nearly what we brought, because when we got there, we gave all our clothes to the poor when we were there. So we came home just pretty literally with what we had on. How many know that sometimes we need to get rid of excess baggage when it comes to our life? I contend this morning that we need to leave some things behind us as we walk into this new year. How about leaving fear and doubt behind us and not take it into the new year with us? Amen? How about leaving unbelief and resentment behind us and not take it into 2018? How about leaving anger and unforgiveness and grudges behind us as excess baggage and not take it into the new year with us? How much greater, how much more pleasant our new year will be if we leave the excess baggage behind us. Amen? Think of something right now in your mind. Think of something you can leave behind. I didn't say someone, I said something, all right? Something that you can leave behind. Think of a grudge. Think of a resentment. Think of a condemnation. Think of a fear. Think of a doubt or an unbelief. Think of something that you've carried with you in 2017 that you don't need in this new year, and say in your heart of hearts, Lord, I'm leaving that behind. I'm leaving that behind. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us so much about Jesus and yet so much it doesn't tell us about him? But one thing it does indicate to us in the scriptures is that when Jesus started out on his ministry, he took nothing with him. He had nothing of his own except the clothes he wore, and even the robe that he had was a gift from those who followed him. He left everything behind to fulfill his destiny. And I'm not saying we need to go to that extreme in this new year, but I do believe that resentment and doubt and fear and grudges and unforgiveness have got to be left. Bury them in the past and move forward with great anticipation of God's strength to accomplish what he's going to call us to do. Come on. We don't need these or other things like them in our new year. Our destiny calls us to a higher purpose, calls us to a higher outlook. A new vision, a new purpose, a Holy Spirit birthed, Holy Spirit maintained, and Holy Spirit directed destiny. And this will take faith, but we have faith because God has said, I have given every person a measure of faith. Let me end with verse 52 of chapter 2. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What we do know of the 30 years of obscurity in Jesus' life, other than the 12-year-old incident, is that we know that for 30 years, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He developed a life that was appreciated. He grew close to God. As he got closer and closer to the time he would fulfill his destiny. And I think verse 52 is a tremendous model for us going in to 2018. Every one of us. Wouldn't it be great if we could say, when we're together on the last Sunday of 2018, going into 29, that when we look back on 2018, that we increased in wisdom. How many know it would be great if we could say we increased in wisdom? Amen? All right? Not as many hands as the kid comment, but increased in wisdom and stature. How many believe that it would be great for us to look back and say, I'm just a little bit stronger, just a little bit more in love with Jesus. I'm just a little bit more of what God wants me to do and want me to be. How many believe that would be a great thing? Finally, yes. And then in favor with God and men. How many know it would be great to look back and say, boy, God likes me. Amen? God likes me. And you know, people, they don't mind me much at all either. Amen? How many know sometimes you can be like a porcupine? Not you, second service folks, but how many know you can be like a porcupine? What do you mean by that, Pastor? You ever try to hug a porcupine? I wouldn't try it. I wouldn't try it. And sometimes we can be that way. But how many know we don't have to be that way in 2018? Wouldn't it be great, right, if we could all say that we were that we just, well, anyway, I'm meddling now, so my time is up. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. What do you want to leave behind? Bow your heads, if you would, please. Close your eyes, perhaps. Take a few moments and ask yourself, what do I want to leave behind? What do I want to leave behind? A grudge? A resentment? A failure? A disappointment? A blame? What do I want to leave behind? If you can't think of anything, maybe there's nothing you have to leave. But maybe if something's come into your mind, why don't we ask God to take that and say, Lord, I don't want to carry that into the new year. I may have failed, but I'm not going to take that failure into the new year. I'm not going to take all the problems I went through last year into the new year. I'm not going to take any resentment. I'm not going to take any grudges, any bitterness. I'm not going to take any of that. It's excess baggage. Lord, I want to leave it behind. And I want to go into the new year believing that the supernatural source of my supernatural strength is God Almighty. Isaiah 40:31. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. So Father, right now, as people have given some time to think, thinking about what excess baggage, like Jesus, we don't want to take anything into our destiny that God doesn't want us to have. We want to leave it behind. Whatever that is that you've put in people's hearts or minds today, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, let it stay behind. I'm not going to let it weigh me down. I'm not going to take any of the chains I forged in 2017, to quote the author. I'm going to go into 2018 free with supernatural strength given from the Savior. I thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for this Christmas season. And it was, as we draw it to a close today, this is the last message we'll talk about Christmas now. Father, I thank you for that whole pageantry, that whole program. And I thank you for Simeon and Anna, the kind of forgotten figures of Christmas narrative. I thank you for what they represent. Great faith, great stamina, great belief in a God who would fulfill his promises. And that we would have that same attitude going into this new year. Let faith arise in our hearts. Give us strength to fulfill whatever destiny you have for us. Help us to oftentimes wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, as the prophet said. Help us to do that very thing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said amen. And would you applaud Jesus this morning? Thank him. Thank him. Amen. 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 God bless you. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2018. Blessings to all of you today.